I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast. Today, we're speaking with reporter Taylor Hartz, who interviewed the family of Jose Sancho of New London, a 28-year-old Peruvian native who died on Friday morning, May 21st, when his car struck a guardrail and tree near Glenwood Avenue in the city. His grieving family is trying to raise $15,000 to send his body back to Peru, where his mother lives. Taylor, some of our listeners might wonder how we approach grieving families in situations like this. Can you describe how you approach them and how you are received?
Sure. I think the message that I always try to get across when I'm speaking to a family that has been struck by tragedy is that it's not only our responsibility as local news reporters to report on the events that happened, but also to report on this person's life and to tell the story of who they were before this tragedy happened to them. So I made sure to convey that message to Jose's family. This family situation is a bit unique because I also wanted to express to them that I not only wanted to tell their son's story, but I wanted to help get the word out about the fundraising that they're doing. The family is trying to raise $15,000 to send Jose's body back to Peru, which is no small amount of money. At the time that I interviewed them, they had raised a third of what they were hoping to raise, and I really tried to impress upon them that by sharing their story with me, their fundraiser would get a little bit more reach and a little bit of a bigger audience and hopefully generate some more funds from people who read the story and really resonated with the grief that they were struggling with.
How did you conduct the interview given that Jose's father did not speak English?
It's always a little difficult to interview someone who you don't speak the same language as. I have done some interviews in Spanish before, but that was about 10 years ago and my Spanish has gotten progressively rusty since then. So I relied entirely on Jose's father's wife to translate for me. So I spoke directly to Jose's father when I asked him questions. I looked him in the eye, even though he couldn't necessarily understand everything I was saying, and I spoke to him. And then I gave his wife an opportunity to translate what I asked into Spanish so that he could understand. And he spoke back to me, which was difficult at points because he was very emotional and he was talking to me about his son's life and his son's very tragic, unexpected death. And he got very emotional at points, and it was hard to make eye contact with him and listen to him share this story when I couldn't directly understand everything he was saying to me and had to wait for his statements to be translated. So it wasn't the easiest interview I've done. These interviews never are, but his wife graciously translated everything for me, and I was able to respond eventually when I had time and once everything had been translated and express my condolences and offer some comfort and remind the family why I was there and what I was hoping to do for them and for the memory of their son.
It does appear that you were able to form a bond with the father and that you were actually communicating directly at him by looking at him. I'd like to read this sentence from your story, Taylor, which really struck me and which I thought really captured the grief of Luis Sancho. I spoke to his mother, and she asked me to please send him to her, Luis Sancho said Tuesday through his wife, who translated for him English to Spanish. He dropped his head into his hands and let out a sob as tears streamed down his face. That just really grabbed me right there, the father's grief. You also wrote in this story about a Peruvian ceremony that the family was conducting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I asked Jose's father if they had any plans to have any type of memorial service here. As you read in the quotation from my story, his mother did ask to have his body sent back to Peru. That's where he was born. That's where he grew up. That's where his mother and a lot of his extended family is. So it was really important to everyone in their family that he be laid to rest there. He also lived a life here in New London for more than 10 years and had, from what I heard, tons of friends in the area in addition to his colleagues and his father and his family members. And they wanted to do something here to commemorate him. They are having a candlelight vigil at the site of his crash. And they also had a private family ceremony for him inside his house on Tuesday evening. The ceremony, according to Jose's father, is a part of Peruvian culture. They were going to lay out Jose's clothes and some of his belongings and some photos of him on a table and light some candles and sit around the table and offer some prayers up to God for Jose's spirit and for the other things that they're praying for in this situation, which include help getting him home to where they want to lay him to rest.
Taylor, why was there such an urgent need to raise this money so quickly?
Jose's stepmother told me that according to the medical examiner's office, they had 2 weeks to determine what they were going to do. That's the longest amount of time the ME's office would be able to hold the body. As of Thursday, they had raised $7,835 of their $15,000 goal, with more than 100 people donating. I think on Thursday alone, over 30 people had made new donations to the cause. And the family was also considering making plans to raise some funds in a few other ways. They were thinking about putting together a garage sale or perhaps cooking some Peruvian or Puerto Rican food made by his stepmother to try to raise some extra funds in that way.
Did the family give you the sense that the community here in New London was very supportive of them?
Absolutely. They were so grateful. And at the end of any interview, I always ask my sources if there's anything they want to add that I didn't ask specifically. And that was their answer to that question, that they wanted to express their utmost gratitude for how much the community had rallied around them. They said that they couldn't believe how many people had donated, and they couldn't believe just how many people loved and cared about Jose and had come out to offer their condolences or share their memories with their son.
One of the things that makes this even more terrible is that they didn't know what Jose was doing that night. This crash occurred at, I think you reported, 1:40 a.m. Or at least in the very early morning hours. Were you able to learn anything more about that, and were they in touch with police?
That's right. It did happen at 1:40 in the morning, and that was in addition to the financial constraints that they were facing, one of the most difficult things for the family to be grappling with right now. Jose's father and stepmother both said that it was very difficult for them to not really know what happened. They said that Jose was a popular guy, that he was often hanging out with his friends, that he was a hard worker and usually didn't get out of work until 8 or 9 p.m., and that he would usually go get some takeout after that and hang out with some friends before heading home. So they kind of were able to piece together that that's what they think his final hours were like, but they'll never know for sure.
Sancho was a graduate, or he had attended New London High School, making a lot of lifelong friends, and he worked as a he worked in construction, laying floors and painting, you reported. We've come to that point where I'm going to ask you that question that you ask everybody else at the end of interviews. Was there anything else that struck you about reporting this story? And what else would you like to add?
I think one of the things that struck me the most as being very heartbreaking in this situation was that Jose's father shared with me that he brought Jose here to New London, to the United States, to offer him a better life and to provide better opportunities for him. He left his family behind in Peru, and he was able to go back often to visit, but he built a life here, just as his father had wanted for him to do. And for that life to be cut so short at the age of 28 is really just heartbreaking. And I think that makes it all the more difficult for this family to try to move through their grief, and I think that it is a great testament to the city of New London and the region in general to see how many people have rallied around them so quickly to try to help them and try to make this process as easy as it can possibly be in the face of such a tragedy.
Taylor, thank you so very much for sharing your process and your experience. You can find Taylor's story and links to the GoFundMe account in the notes to this podcast. I'm hoping the best for the family and the fundraising.